Manx Radio's update with Lewis Foster.
Fast my good evening and welcome to Update on Manx Radio. It's 5 o'clock on Thursday the 18th of September and it's time for half an hour of the latest news on and from the Isle of Man. Coming up, the Chief Constable says the Isle of Man Constabulary isn't going woke following criticism of the island's armed police presence. A Ramsey Commissioner is urging residents to take part in the town's first public accountability meeting, and questions over who could end up footing the bill to have fibre broadband installed. All that and more coming up, plus the latest weather and what to watch out for on the roads this evening. As always, let us know your thoughts. Text 166177 or email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, let's take a look at the latest news headlines with Siobhan Fletcher. Fastamai, Siobhan.
Fastamai, good evening. A verdict of accidental death has been recorded at the inquest of a Crosby man who died last year. 22-year-old Robert George Kizik was hit by a car whilst crossing the carriageway on Whitebridge Road in Onchan in the early hours of the 29th of December. The coroner of inquest described his death as a tragic loss given his young age. A teenager will stand trial next year after pleading not guilty to the murder of a 14-year-old boy in Ramsey. The boy, who was also 14 at the time of the incident and can't be named because of his age, denied murdering Christopher McBurney in May during an appearance at Douglas Courthouse. Ramsey Town Commissioners has issued a clarification after wrongly describing an investigation into one of its board members' Facebook comments as criminal. The local authority announced at the beginning of last night's meeting that a post by Commissioner Elizabeth Shimmin concerning the recently killed Charlie Kirk was being looked into. Police have confirmed a complaint was made about the Facebook post, but having referred it to the Attorney General's chamber, there will be no further action taken by the constabulary. There are no plans to make it mandatory for cyclists on the island to wear helmets. The Infrastructure Minister has responded to a written Tynwald question, saying the current law doesn't allow her department to enforce those kinds of regulations. And it's hoped a series of projects designed to engage people in the Manx language will represent the whole community. 30 initiatives will receive £500 of funding from Culture Vanin as part of the Traist 26 scheme as part of the Year of Manx. Manx Language Development Officer even, Ruth Kegan-Gell, says it's important the language is accessible to everyone.
It has to represent and reflect the whole community and see that the Manx language, like any other language, is constantly evolving.
Turning to the international news this evening now, Donald Trump has admitted a disagreement with Sir Keir Starmer during his state visit. The US president says the pair don't see eye to eye on the prime minister's plan to recognise a Palestinian state. Mr Trump, who was praised by the king last night for efforts to stop wars, also hit out at Russian President Vladimir Putin.
The one that I thought would be easiest would be because of my relationship with President Putin, but he's let me down. He's really let me down. Was going to be Russia and Ukraine, but we'll see how that turns out.
The PM and President also signed New Tech Prosperity Deal, which we're told will be worth £150 billion to the UK economy. Meanwhile, the President suggested Sir Keir Starmer should involve the military in tackling the small boats crisis, says the first migrant was sent to France as part of the government's one-in, one-out returns agreement. The Bank of England has held its main interest rate at 4%. Only two of its 9-member Monetary Policy Committee voted for a cut, with inflation nearly double the bank's target. And Natasha Lyonne and Matt Berry are teaming up for a new comedy. The pair are co-creating and starring in a retro detective series for Sky. No release date has been announced yet. They're your headlines. I'll be back with your news in full at 6 o'clock.
Gromayed, thank you, Siobhan, for the headlines there. The weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Cloudy with outbreaks of rain and drizzle this evening and tonight. Potentially heavy at times overnight. Moderate to fresh south-southwest winds, increasing fresh to strong this evening. Further outbreaks of rain or drizzle through much of tomorrow, again with some heavier spells of rain at times. Moderate southwest winds falling light and top temperature of 17 degrees. Outbreaks of rain again on Saturday. This then becomes heavier and more persistent later as winds also strengthen. Sunset tonight is at 7:28. Sunrise tomorrow morning is at 6:57.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
Lost your keys? Got locked out? Get in with Kevin's Keys. Your fast, reliable locksmiths 24/7. Homes, cars and bikes. Kevin's Keys do it all. And why not get a spare set cut and chipped just in case? Call Kevin on 287 287.
At Bagode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bagode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bagode Cattery on Facebook.
SMS Trading. New and second-hand furniture from flat pack to fully built. See our range at 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. All-island delivery and man-in-a-van service available. Call SMS Trading on 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime, sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Yes, indeed, and thank you for joining us on this foggy Thursday afternoon. The time now at 6 minutes past five. The Chief Constable has rejected claims that a higher profile for armed police on the Isle of Man reflects so-called woke policing. Russ Foster was responding to comments made by former MHK Chris Robertshaw on Manx Radio's Perspective programme. Mr. Robertshaw suggested the Chief Constable had brought a UK mindset to the island. With more on this, here's Siobhan.
Mr. Robertshaw's comments came as he was discussing the development of policy on the Isle of Man. He said quite a few of our senior civil servants are coming to the island from away, bringing UK thinking into their work, something he critiques. He then raised the example of our current Chief Constable, Russ Foster.
Perhaps it's wrong for me to say this, but I was shocked when the new Chief Constable from across came over and seemed, in a public sense, to be preoccupied with the idea of we have to manifest an evidence of gun-carrying policemen. And I'm thinking, no, we don't. That's not how the Isle of Man works. And he said on Manx Radio, I don't want to be the Chief Constable that got that wrong and something happens. Well, you know, how often do we have gun issues on the Isle of Man?
Mr. Robertshaw made reference there in his comments to one of Mr. Foster's appearances on our Man in Line programme. This was in October last year.
We've not increased our numbers of armed officers since I've been in post. What we have done is change the deployment model. The threat and risk pervading the organisation is not high, it's low. But low risk does not mean no risk. And as I say, I wanted that operational contingency, so I make no apologies.
Now, we put Mr. Robertshaw's comments made this week to the Isle of Man Constabulary for a response. The Chief Constable sent Manx Radio a comment.
Whilst the former MHK is entitled to his own opinion in terms of armed policing, as the Chief Constable, I would rather rely on the advice and support from specialists in the field of armed policing to inform my decision making and in so doing, minimise the risk to the public and maximise the safety of our officers. The commentary from the former MHK emphasises the importance of why the Office of Chief Constable has the autonomy to exercise operational independence when making operational decisions, which must remain unfettered from political interference.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
A Ramsey commissioner is urging residents to take part in the town's first public accountability meeting. Dewan McGuinness says the event at the town hall builds on the hustings held during April's local elections and gives people the chance to exercise their democratic right. He added that residents can't expect change if they don't provide feedback or challenge their elected members. Our local democracy reporter Emma Draper has been speaking to him.
When I was standing for election earlier this year, we had our hustings meetings, which are very valuable and a great opportunity for members of the public to ask prospective members what they want to achieve and what they stand for. And then that is where the last interaction happens for most people for 4 years. But I think it's important that we as a board are as open and transparent as possible, are accountable to our public and interactive as much. So holding these what are effectively sort of in-house hustings seems a very logical step.
And would you just be able to explain about where it's happening and what people might be able to expect?
So it's going to be at Ramsey Town Hall at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, the 24th of September. It's also going to be live streamed on our Facebook. You can submit questions in person. You can submit questions ahead of time online. And it should just be the board of Ramsey Town Commissioners giving a brief update of where we're at, where we're headed, and just allow the public to interact and ask what they want to know.
How important do you think this will be for the commissioners going forward? Obviously, if there's a low turnout, I know you mentioned in the meeting there that there might be calls for it to stop. So how important would it be for people to turn up to this first one?
I think it's really important that we exercise our democratic right, and that is at all levels, whether it's voting or engaging with local authorities. We can't complain as residents about our representatives if we don't give them feedback and ask questions. So as much interaction as possible is ideal.
Ramsey Commissioner Juan McGuinness there speaking to local democracy reporter Emma Draper. Just a reminder, the meeting is being held next Wednesday, the 24th of September at 7 p.m. at Ramsey Town Hall. It'll also be streamed live via the Commissioner's Facebook page. Now, the time is coming up to 11 minutes past five, and a warning that this next story contains information which some listeners may find distressing. A verdict of accidental death has been recorded at the inquest of a Crosby man who died last year. Robert George Kizik was hit by a car whilst crossing the carriageway on Whitebridge Road in Onchan in the early hours of the 29th of December. Siobhan Fletcher reports.
The 22-year-old had taken a taxi to the area with a friend for an after-party following a night out in Douglas. At around 3:30 a.m, he walked his friend across the road to the entrance of the Manx Fun Farm for her taxi home. Whilst attempting to cross back again, Mr. Kizik was struck by a BMW travelling at around 60 miles per hour. Douglas Courthouse heard from the driver of the car, who had attempted to stop, when they saw Mr. Kizik around 1.3 metres from their vehicle. They had seen the lights of the taxi ahead whilst travelling on the unrestricted road and had turned their headlights from full to dipped so as not to dazzle the driver. Whilst giving evidence to the court, PC Daniel Joyce, an experienced collisions investigations officer, said it was so dark that evening that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. He said he didn't believe the driver could have braked any earlier than they did. Further police statements also revealed the driver had provided a zero reading for intoxicants during a breathalyzer test and had passed a drug wipe. No charges were brought against them. The inquest heard the driver had travelled to Douglas in the early hours of the morning to collect two friends from a night out. After the collision, one of the passengers, a soldier trained in first aid, led efforts to resuscitate Mr. Kizik. Douglas Courthouse heard Mr. Kizik, who's well known in the island's farming community, died as a result of extensive and serious head and brain injuries, which meant he died extremely rapidly. The coroner of inquests found that he would have took the view that he could cross the road safely that night, but may have misjudged the situation, having consumed alcohol earlier in the evening. In her statement, Mr. Kizik's friend said he lit up a room, and she described him as giving off a big brother vibe, saying he cared for all those around him. She said he was a proper farmer who always seemed like a happy guy. The coroner of inquests praised the efforts of the driver's two passengers for their resuscitation attempts and their handling of the situation until emergency services arrived. He described it as a tragedy that those attempts were unsuccessful. Expressing his condolences to Mr. Kizik's family, James Brooks said it was a tragic loss, made more so given his young age. If you've been affected by any of the issues in this story, there are details of local organisations that provide advice and support at manxradio.com/support.
Siobhan Fletcher there with that report. You're listening to Update on Manx Radio, and the time is now 13 minutes past five. Still waiting for fibre broadband at your home? Manx Telecom says it's committed to giving every household access by 2029, ahead of the copper network switch-off. But with delays in installing telegraph poles in some areas, questions remain over who might have to foot the bill if problems continue. Darren Timpson has more.
Recently, Arbury, Castletown and Maloo MHK Jason Morehouse asked the Minister for Enterprise whether social housing tenants, for example, would have to pay to access the technology. Mr. Tim Johnston says the department doesn't hold data regarding who has to pay to install fibre broadband. Requirements to installing the technology, he says, are subject to the nature and availability of existing infrastructure. properties serviced by telegraph poles incur no installation charges, and the department provides no financial support for properties where no poles nor underground ducts are present. Installation aside, Mr. Johnson does say that CURA, the Communications and Utilities Regulatory Authority, is actively considering the introduction of so-called socially targeted tariffs. I asked Jason Morehouse how he felt about this response.
Several times I've tried to find out how many people are actually in the situation of having to pay, how many people have said they aren't able to pay that money, so they're going to have to wait. And unfortunately, despite asking three very clear questions in terms of numbers, I've got no numbers at all.
They also answered about your socially targeted tariff, something I think you called for as well. What did you make of the answer about that?
It's unfortunate that it's been delayed slightly over the summer because of all the other work CURA has been doing in terms of the consultations and the competition legislation. So I'm hoping that within the next couple of weeks there's going to be an update on that. And if things go to plan in January or February next year, that's going to be a service that's going to be available from all the telecoms on the island. So it's going to be a system where people are going to have the option of a lower cost internet access, which is going to be down to choice. If people actually need it or prefer it, that is on the table.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Take a look at the roads now, and the mountain road is closed from Brandywell to the Cregna Bar for drainage work. Businesses on the mountain will be open as normal. In Union Mills all this week, a short section of Strang Road is one way between the Methodist Chapel and the main road for wall repairs. Traffic can't turn from the main road onto Strang Road during the works. In Douglas, temporary lights on the Newcastle Town Road between Saddle Road and the Quarter Bridge for estate entrance works there, and temporary lights on Lord Street between the Brown Bobby and Athol Street for service connection work. North of Cronkavoddy, temporary lights on the TT course at Handley's Corner for duct work. In Peel, a short stretch of Glenfaber Road is closed near the new sewage treatment plant. And tomorrow, the Slock will be closed from 8:30 in the morning until 5 for the Festival of Motoring, of course. Now, if you're travelling on and off island, a quick look at the sailings. And there was a delay to the Manxman's departures this afternoon. It left Heysham at 22 minutes past 3. Is expected back into Douglas tonight at 7:15. That's having a knock-on effect to the 7:15 departure back to Heysham. So passengers on that sailing are asked to check in no later than 8 o'clock to ensure a prompt departure there. And I'm glad to say, no problems to report over at the airport.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Heysham. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
17 minutes past 5, government has published its Child First policy, which claims to put children at the heart of its decision-making. The plan is said to have been shaped by young people themselves, as Amy Griffiths reports.
One of the key things children asked for was to be more involved in decisions that affect their lives. They said they want to learn about their rights, be able to access better services, have more opportunities to grow and play, and see stronger support for families. The policy puts in place a cross-government framework to make sure every government decision prioritises the best interests of young people. Cabinet Office Minister David Ashford says every child deserves to grow up safe, supported and heard, and this policy is our commitment to doing just that. Training in children's rights and how to incorporate them into decision-making and policy-making is also being provided to government ministers, department members and to public service staff. Government says it's already implemented a number of schemes hoping to put children first, including healthier meals in primary schools, schemes to improve their oral health, and giving them faster access to mental health services. The policy is due to be laid before Tynwald in October, and you can find both the full policy and a child-friendly version at manxradio.com.
Amy Griffiths there with that report. Now, from stamps and stickers to murals and even Manx translations of pop songs, they're among the projects chosen by Culture Vanin for its Traced 26 scheme, part of the Year of Manx. The initiative offers £500 grants to support creative ideas that celebrate and promote the language. Manx Language Development Officer Ruth Kegan-Gell explained more to Howard Kane.
We have basically given 30 different projects out, and they're going to be really delivered throughout the year. So some of them will be delivered at the start of the year, ready for the year in January, or just before the year has started. And then some of them will be delivered as we go through the year. So there will always be things coming through. Some of them are very, you know, actual physical products that are going to be delivered. So things like, you know, stickers and stamps with positive affirmations of Manx on that will be delivered in different community settings for free, or murals celebrating and utilising Manx or community art projects as well. So there's kind of visual art side of things, but also some connect with music. So for example, new songs for school choirs or new songs that can be utilised in school settings and in classrooms. But there's all sorts of things as well, like new Manx lessons for new different communities who haven't accessed those before. So many different ideas.
I think I saw a project to translate pop songs into Manx. I suppose that might possibly need some words hitherto weren't used in the Manx language.
It depends what those words are, absolutely. Yes, this is true. I mean, I suppose if you look at a lot of pop songs, the language that is used throughout is normally fairly easy to translate, but you do sometimes have to go around things in a different way. So, for example, you'll have rhymes in the English language in a pop song. Well, how then do you get the same sense across and then still have rhymes going on in the Manx language? So we're really excited to see. So somebody has got that project, so we're excited to see what they do. They have got a track record of being an excellent person for translation. I won't say who their name is. I won't put them on the spot. But yeah, they've done some really fantastic work and dealt creatively and poetically with words before. So that'll be really fun to see.
Ruth Keggingale there from Culture Vanin. The time now 21 minutes past five. Let's turn our attention to sport. Manx triathlete Will Draper says his victory in the European Long Distance Championships last weekend may be the biggest win of his career so far. In a year where the Ireland competitors featured frequently on the international stage, he's also been telling Manx Radio how much he feels he's progressed throughout this season.
Yeah, I think it has to be the highest, really, which is nice. It's a progression on the grand scheme of things, and one thing's led to another, and each result that I've had has been a progression from the last. So yeah, it's obviously recognised amongst a lot of people to have a title, a European title, so it's nice to get that recognition from people that don't necessarily understand the different races I can do within the sport. It's kind of one of them ones that everyone can understand.
Not just this winning the European Long Distance Championship, but the couple of appearances you've made on the T100 Triathlon World Tour with a couple of impressive results as well. Do you feel in the last sort of 12 months, or particularly this season, you've made another step up from where you were already?
Yeah, it's definitely been another step in the right direction. I think that's the thing that everyone wants, really, is consistent improvement. As an athlete, the hardest thing to deal with is them setbacks and things like that. But this year has been a great year for managing to stay injury free and avoiding illness. And obviously there's a little bit of luck, especially on like the bike, avoiding sort of mechanicals in races and things like that. And when all that aligns with the training and the consistent work in training, then obviously the results continue to improve. So it's been nice to have that all come to this year so far.
What's next for you in terms of triathlon? What are your latest plans?
So it would be an opportunity to kind of end my season now, but next year I would like to do a full distance, so another iron distance during the middle of the season. So I almost want to practice, see how my body recovers and how I can prepare for the next race. So I'm looking at a race within the next sort of 3 to 5 weeks. I'm not entirely sure which race yet, but just trying to go back.
Manx triathlete Will Draper there. Now, a large Manx contingent is heading across to the UK for a long-awaited return of the Celtic Match Races at East Fortune in Scotland this weekend. The event sees teams from the Isle of Man, Ireland, Scotland and Wales compete in two- and three-wheeled racing against each other. And there's hopes, high hopes, for the Isle of Man team this year, as ARA chairman Linda Alton-Heath explains.
15 years since we did it. The last time was 2010 in the Isle of Man. 12 solos and 4 sidecars, with reserves for each class as well. Points for each one. Sometimes it's a separate race, sometimes it's involved in another race. Teams will be denoted by wearing bibs. Real team feel about it.
What are the best aspects about it?
Camaraderie really has got to be it. It's a group of 12 solos, say 4 sidecars. It's that team feel. We race at Derby and every man for himself. Well, we have a great family paddock atmosphere. To corral this Isle of Man team has literally made me go grey. Got about 35 vans going and about 100 people.
Who is going to be representing the Isle of Man?
What a team. Superbike class, we've got our new Isle of Man Centre champion, Jamie Kringle, supported by Rory Parker. Kyle Casement and Grant Thompson in with the 600s. Pre-injection, we've got Lex Havel and Paul Morby. Lex just won the pre-injection championship on the Isle of Man. Super Twins, Francesco Feraldo, Aaron Redmond. We've got Jason Corcoran as a reserve for that. Paul Cassidy's a super reserve. Got him in as reserve for Superbike, 600s and pre-injection. CB500s, we've got Sam Bowers, Dewan Hunter, and we've got Matt Davies in as reserve. Juniors, we've got two of our youngsters going, so George Cowie and again Ewan Bainbridge, and then sidecar team, these are the ones to beat, Ryan and Callum Crowe, Hopi and Lenny. We've got Jimmy Ben Gale and we've got Stu Bainbridge and Liam Wood for our sidecars, and we've got a reserve sidecar going, which is Michael Jackson and Jake Roberts.
The big news not long after the team was confirmed, really, that the next Celtic Match races are due to be held on the Isle of Man in 2026. So how exciting is that?
Yeah, the Isle of Man's only one in the Isle of Man, so we're hoping to break that when we go to Scotland, but yeah, we're having it here next year. We've got a main sponsor this year of Ocals, and we've been hugely supported by the Steam Packet. So having it here next year as well will just help us with assisting our sponsors, and yeah, it should give us a home advantage.
Linda Alton-Heath there, speaking to Manx Radio sports editor Rob Pritchard, who I'm glad to say joins us in the studio now with the latest sporting news. Fast am I, Rob?
Fast am I, Lewis. First tonight, it's been a bright start for Manx equestrian star Yasmin Ingham at the 2025 FEI Eventing European Championships. During today's opening dressage round at Blenheim Palace in Oxfordshire, Ingham and horse Rehi DJ finished third with a score of 29. The only ones to finish ahead of them were German duo of Malin Hansen-Hotop and Labusa Lebecki. Ingham's GB teammate Piggy March also performed well to end the day inside the top 10 in fifth. And in terms of what's next, day two tomorrow will involve a second dressage phase, with the cross-country test on Saturday and the jumping event rounding things out on Sunday. Well, Ingham and Great Britain go into these championships as defending champions, having taken both individual and team gold in 2023. Elsewhere, Manx trials competitor Caitlin Adsett has become a European champion. The Ireland rider has taken top spot in this year's trial ECW class of the Trials European Championship, following the final two rounds in Italy, in which she won both races. Adsett finishes the campaign on 710 points, 50 points clear of her nearest challenger, Alicia Sawyer of France, in second. And it comes after the 2024 Isle of Man Under-21 Sportswoman of the Year finished fourth in the FIM Women's Trial World Championship earlier this month. Furthermore, it also means she finishes the campaign with a run of three consecutive victories in the last three rounds. Elsewhere, finishing behind Adsett and Sawyer in the final classifications to complete the top three was Italy's Alessia Bacchetta on 650 points. And finally, the Isle of Man squad has been confirmed for the 2026 Islands International event in a few months' time in darts. A total of 20 players will fly the Manx flag at the fourth edition of the event, which will be held at Treacy's West County Hotel in Ennis, County Clare, in the Republic of Ireland, from the 24th to the 26th of January next year. The Isle of Man will have 13 involved in the men's tournaments and 7 in the women's tournaments. Well, early this year, the 2025 tournament took place in Jersey. However, due to travel disruption caused by Storm Eowyn, only around half of the 20-strong Isle of Man team was able to attend in person. You can view the Isle of Man squad at manxradio.com.
Rob Pritchard, Guru Mayed, thank you. That's it for Update Tonight. Island Life is on next as David Kinley presents New World, Old Ways. And at 6 o'clock, Chris Kinley will be along with Greatest Hits. Have a great evening. Update will, of course, be back at the same time tomorrow.